What we're doing is we're looking at how to study the scripture. There'll be something, another unit posted this week on the Tikkun website for those who are interested. And it's entitled, How to Study the Scripture. And so when we look at this letter, there's a couple of things we ought to do in terms of finding a context for it that will help us with our understanding of it, which will help us in turn with our application of it. Now, this is very important because many people are swayed by teaching which is almost the right teaching, but it's just something not quite right with it. And what happens is there's something that's not quite right with it ends up dominating that which is right. It's an interesting feature, that. It's something that's innate within the universe. If you have weeds, for example, in a garden, you better deal with the weeds because the weeds will grow and overtake. There could only be one weed and then 10 beautiful flowers. But the one weed will flourish and grow and smother those flowers if you're not careful. It's very important for us to take care in terms of our understanding and appropriation of the truth of what Scripture is teaching. So with that in mind, a little background into this letter that we're going to read. The Apostle Paul, he had a concern for the believers who are the recipients of this letter. These people were trying to stand firm in their faith, but they were under pressure from many false teachers. All sorts of false teaching was going around at that time. And Paul in this letter teaches the church that their hope in Christ's future return should serve as an encouragement to them in their suffering. And it should be a motivating factor for them to live with an enthusiasm for God and his truth and the hope that they have in him. So Paul was, he connected his teaching on Jesus with the practical growth that he expected to see as a result of those following Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 17 of 2 Thessalonians, it's interesting that he says, listen, I'm writing this in my own hand. I'm writing it in my own hand because he's saying, look, can't you recognize my writing? Isn't it interesting you can recognize someone's writing? And you say, oh yeah, no, I reckon they do the loops and there's a certain, and if you have memorabilia these days, which is a huge industry now, and someone has signed a photograph of themselves, a famous person, and then they have these experts who would look at the signature and say, yes, it's authentic because there's a little tail, a little squiggle there. They always do it that way. There's more pressure on the pen at this point. Yes, this is an authentic one, or no, that's not authentic. That's not really from them because they don't write that way. And in fact, very interesting to consider what he says in 3:17. He says, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, in my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle. Why would he say that? Any guesses? There was a lot of fakes going about. People were writing to the church claiming that they were Paul, signing it with his signature, writing false things down to try and con the believers. So he says, no, watch out. Not everything is, it's not right. Listen, This is, you see, there was a big lie going around at the time that Jesus has already come back. They were expecting his return. And many people were saying, he's already come back. He's back, it's happened. Paul's writing to them saying, no. Listen, that's not right. And he references other books in the Bible to make his point clear. He goes to Daniel, he goes to Revelation. He's using other books, he's using other, or put it like this, things that are mentioned in other books then as references that we can look at now. And we know that he was writing along similar lines. Of course, Daniel was already written at that point, so he was using that book as a reference point. But then, okay, that's a sort of situation, a brief context of what was going on. But what was the point then? He was trying to get them to think from this letter. Well, discipline and self-control are two of the qualities that this letter points us towards. Now, discipline and self-control quickly slip away in a society that's focused on material gain, and people forget spiritual realities. And those spiritual realities should be the focus and emphasis of their lives. Sometimes, you know, when you have financial success, it's not the best thing. People who are fat with financial success, and the New Testament points towards this, you have to be careful. Because you start to rely on those things. And those things provide a comfort. And those things can stop you, in fact, calling out to God. It's not necessarily a bad thing not to have too much money. Not always a bad thing. It depends what God's called you to in life. It's a good thing to have money if God's called you and there's things that you need to do. You've got to have the money to do it. Not everyone's called for the same thing. So, Paul knew that hope in Christ would encourage perseverance in godly living. That hope that they have in Christ in his soon coming return, that would spur them on to be enthusiastic about living for Jesus right now and being engaged with the things of God and a Christian perspective right now. And so he writes this to them and tries to encourage them to avoid the pitfalls that were being thrown their way from the false teachers. Let's go into the letter now. Second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. He says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. Look at that. The love of you, it abounds towards each other. Good sign for a church, that, isn't it? Loving one another. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Didn't Jesus say just the same? That if you follow him, why be surprised if they treat the master this way? Why be surprised if you follow in his footsteps that they treat you that way? This is where this becomes really real to us. So real. What happens is when we feel pressure at times, when things start to look as if we stand our ground, there's going to be persecution, there may be a bit of suffering, things may get a little bit difficult here. If I'm standing up for Christian truths and all the people that I work with are against me, all of them are laughing at me, all of them are mocking me, none of them agree, they're all saying that I'm a nutter, they're all saying I've gone mad, they're all saying that they're way too enthusiastic, they're all telling me I should cool down, I shouldn't be so engaged with the things of God and the Bible and all that. It's all old-fashioned. What are you fussing with that for? And that's the very time when you find out what you're made of. That's the very time we ought to be so thankful to be in that position. And now we've got a choice. We can be a coward. We could be cowards. And then we could just walk away and just shrivel up and just go and shrivel and just get, you know, just go into the corner there and just allow them to punch us. Or we could say, God is with me. God is with me. You can have your opinion. You can think what you like. You can call me names. You can call me a bigot. You can call me whatever you want. There's got plenty of names for Christians these days. You call me all the names you want. It's not going to move me. It's not going to affect me at all. I'm going to stand because I know who I follow. I'm going to stand, and I'm standing with Jesus, and nothing you can say is going to move me one inch. In fact, the only thing I'm going to do is I'll move closer in. I will never, ever back down. That's what we've got. That's the perspective that he's talking about here. This is why he's saying to them that he's happy with their faith and their love. Hey, love is perfected among us in this. As he is, so are we in this world. And Jesus was bold, wasn't he? Jesus was strong and he was bold. Those who have Christ living in them ought to manifest strength and boldness. We don't go looking for controversy, but what we don't do is we don't cower down. We won't cower down. We'll stand, and we're going to stand for the gospel. There was a song, I'll tell you the truth, the reason why it's gone out of popularity is people are too embarrassed to sing it. We sung it last week on the beach. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. He dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Isn't that good? We just stand. This is what it is to be a Christian, folks. This is the Christian life. How many are glad to be involved in it? Amen. Amen. Don't cower down. You stand strong. You stand strong for Jesus. Okay? This is what it says. Let's read on. Let's read from verse 5 of chapter 1, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Now that's something. You may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Through these things, we're counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Well, that's not taught very much, is it, in cheap grace teachings? This is something, isn't it? Counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. Oh, it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. Isn't that something? Hold on, let me read that again. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. God will pay them with tribulation, those who trouble you. You know, folks, I've seen that happen many times. That's happening today, as the rest of the gospel is. So people need to go careful. They don't know who they're dealing with. When they deal with you, they're dealing with a child of the living God. Amen. When they deal with you, they're dealing with God's children. Amen. You're not just an ordinary human being. You're God's child. When they're dealing with you, they're dealing with God's children. They need to go careful. But you see, this will encourage us. When we understand this, and when this letter is read over and over in our minds, and the truth of the letter manifests in us, when His word is dwelling in us, what happens is we recall those words. They cause us to grow on the inside. Well, as they're growing on the inside of us, they cause us then to stand strong. There's an innate thing that happens. We become more manifest towards this word. We grow strong in the Lord and the power of His might, bold. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Say He's correct in the lie that they've been told. That, oh no, He's already come back. He's come back a second. Didn't you know? Or you don't know? No, He's correct in that lie. Okay? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Hold on a sec. Whoa, wait there. Taking vengeance. I thought He was going to be nice to everyone, and I thought this was... Hold on. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming, folks, and He's going to take vengeance on those who don't obey His gospel. Obeying His gospel isn't just a case of, oh, well, do you want to be, or they don't believe, but let's be kind and gentle to them. Oh, you don't believe the gospel, that's okay, oh, we're going to be nice to you. Or maybe if I'm really sweet and nice, one day they'll turn. I don't care if you turn. I don't care if they turn. It's not my business. Who am I? I'm just a man who's saved. That's not my business. My business is to manifest this gospel as His believer. It's not my business to do anything other than preach the gospel. And if you don't believe it, that's your business. God defends their right not to believe it. He defends their right. Up to them. Choose. But we're not begging you to come. You don't believe it. Listen, His vengeance will be on you. That's what this says. But you see, the religion of Christianity doesn't talk about vengeance. It doesn't talk about these strong motives. The religion of Christianity say, oh, well, we're going to just try our best. I'll be so sugary and sweet. Maybe you'll turn one day. But whatever happens, I'm not going to be the one who causes offense. No, because the gospel is an offense to those who aren't saved. And you see, the Christian needs to say, you know what? Maybe I need to be an offense to you. Look at me, I'm an offense to you. I don't believe the same things you believe. I don't believe like you believe. I don't walk like you walk. I don't think like you think. I don't want to be anything like you. I am an offense to you. And the one who I serve, His vengeance is on you. His name is Jesus. You may know him as a man in a lady's dress with blonde hair flowing like this in a stained glass window somewhere looking with a nice pious religious look on his face. I know him as a soon coming king with fire. The soon coming king with fire who will come with vengeance on those who don't follow the gospel of his dear son. Now this is the real gospel. This is the truth of the gospel of Jesus. That religious people don't want anything to do with. Because they just want to be nice. I don't want to be nice. I want to be with Jesus. I want the Jesus life. Not the nice life. Verse 8, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. But you see, we must have a testimony, folks. We've got to have a testimony that they can believe. And that testimony for Jesus is an offense to people. That's the offense. The testimony of your life. You're here this morning. You believe. I presume most of us in this room believe. And so your life is a testimony. And that testimony should show them. They have an opportunity to believe. They're without excuse. And he writes as someone with love for them would write. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. And the work of faith with power. Anyone who doesn't have power, anyone who claims to be a minister of God, okay, and they don't have power, they're no minister of God. They're probably a religious type of person, okay? All God's ministers have power. All his real ministers have power. You're not a minister of Jesus Christ unless you have power. Okay? Because when Jesus is in you, power manifests. There must be power manifesting. People who don't have power, I don't care what they believe. I don't care their fancy sermons, fancy things. I'm not interested. Power. That's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. The work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 2 goes on to talk about the great apostasy. Let's go quickly into it now. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us. You see, there was others trying to get to them. As though the day of Christ had come. They were pretending that the day of Christ had already come, you see? You see that now? Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit, that is. The presence and the work of the Holy Spirit. Once that's removed, once he is removed, then these things will happen. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Notice that? God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe the lie. God's sending them the strong delusion that they believe the lie. It's not Satan sending the strong delusion that they'll believe the lie. It's God sending them a strong delusion that they believe the lie. God's doing it. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see people having pleasure in unrighteousness? You see it, folks? Goes right against the gospel. You see what the Bible says. It's clear, it's straightforward, it's true. Amen? Amen. Nice and clear. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. Let me read that again. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. This is a theme I find in every book of the Bible. Through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught. Some, you know, in the modern church, they think, oh, traditions. Oh, it's tradition. Oh, we don't believe the tradition. Oh, the traditions. Hold on a sec. There's some traditions which are dead. Man-made dead traditions which we don't want. But there are some traditions which God has established in his church which benefit us, which the Bible is telling us to do what with? Let me read it again. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Hold on to those traditions. Hold on to those things. What is that tradition? It's a behavioral pattern. It's a belief system. Hold on to them. What does it mean to hold on to them? Why have I got to hold on to something? I've got to hold on to something. I've got to hold on to the thing. And the more valuable it is, the tighter you've got to hold on sometimes. And when the waves of life are raging, and the waves are going up and down, the storms are coming, everything's going crazy, there's all manner of things going around on the outside, but it's okay for us, because we are in the one who's doing the shaking, and we just hold on. You see, he just called us to hold on to those things which are established in the Word, those godly traditions. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Praise be to God. We go on to look at chapter 3 this evening, but right now, let's just stand together as we consider a response. You know, the word of God should be met with a response, folks. If you just go into the word and there's no response, something's wrong. The word should produce in us a response. Let's respond now. Let's respond. Praise God. Let's just worship him and thank him for his word. Oh, Father, we thank and praise you. Everyone, just thank him for his word. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word, the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus. We thank you for the truth of this gospel, Lord. Oh, we praise your wonderful name. Lord, we worship you. We honor you. We give you all the praise. Thank you for the word of God. It survived, folks. You know, they tried to burn the word. They tried to stop the word getting out. They've tried everything through generations to stop the word of God. Oh, there were plans afoot in the governments to stop the word. But praise God, he's had his way. Hallelujah. And the word of God is with us today. And it's shaping us as we listen to what it says. Oh, we praise you for your word, Lord. Have your way with us. Thank you, Savior. And now look. All of us, let's just close our eyes. No one needs to look around. Everyone closing their eyes. All of us closing our eyes. And even the young ones, closing your eyes. Everyone closing their eyes. No one just fussing. Everyone closing their eyes. Listen, today, this moment now is the beginning of the rest of our lives, folks. This moment right now is the beginning of the rest of our lives. And God, in his awesome power, can speak in a moment to our hearts and our minds and change the course of our lives. It takes a moment with him. It takes a moment with him to bring that which is dead in you alive again. That dream, that thing that he put inside of you, that you've let it slip, you've forgotten about it, you've been discouraged, you didn't do anything about it, but it's there inside of you. It's what they call latent. It's there. It exists, but it's not alive in you. In a moment, God can call it out, call it forth, that you manifest his will. Father God, we pray to you now then, in Jesus' wonderful name. And Father, we ask this, that your will manifest in our lives. Whatever you have for us, Father God, shape us, we pray, that our lives would yield to your will, that our lives would point to our wonderful Savior, that we would accomplish all that you've called us to accomplish, that we would be the people that you've called us to be. Now listen, if God has spoken to you this morning, you respond to God right now by putting up a hand. Put up your hand right now. If God has spoken to you this morning, put your hand up and put it up high. Put it up high. Like you're really responding to him. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for people responding, hearts and minds responding. That Father God, as we leave this place and even at the end of this service now, you continue to manifest your will to us. Manifest your will to each individual, Father, that which you've called them to do, called them to be, and that, Father God, your will manifest. Praise be to his holy name. Praise his holy name. We sung it earlier, folks. We sung about Jesus and his healing. Praise his holy name. Let me say this now, a second invite. Anyone who has pain in this place, anyone who needs healing in this place, if that's you, hallelujah. Father God, we worship you. Listen, there's healing in this wonderful Savior, Jesus, for you. By his stripes you were healed. Father God, we thank and praise you, Lord. If you need healing from Jesus, this moment, I want you to respond to him right now and put up your hand. Every eye closed, no one looking around. It's between you and God. That's you. Put up your hand. Don't be shy. Put your hand up. Thank you, Father God. You see, pride stops some people. Just pride. Don't let pride stop you. Bless you, darlings. God loves you so much. Father God, then, those hands that are raised, I thank you for them. I thank you for hands raised. And Father God, now then, in the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth, I minister healing to every raised hand in this place in Jesus' name. From the top of your heads to the soles of your feet, be well by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Be healed in his mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We saw beautiful miracles yesterday. Dear brothers and sisters, I believe in miracles for today. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Father God, we commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to you and we say this, have your way in our lives, Lord. Have your way. Lord, we pray that the scriptures would come alive to us, that they would shape us. Your hands working through the scriptures and us like clay being molded. Oh, thank you, Father God. Have your way then in our lives. Have your way. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name.